Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. Yes, you have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. In the house with me today is President Eric. So here we are, man. Welcome. I'm glad you guys are here. We have a topic today talking about this thing that we can't seem to shake. We can't seem to shake it, no matter what. If you're conscious, aware of life and things around you, you got this. And it's called a
conscience, which and is so similar to the word conscious.
Yes.
So you have to be conscious of your conscience. Ooh, confusing.
Yeah. And there's even a seared conscience. Anyway.
The barbecued kind.
The barbecued kind. Yes, we're going to talk about that. So we're going to momentarily here, but we always like to kind of kick things off. You know, like the start of a game, you know, everybody's waiting and all of a sudden, boom, the kick of the football, get things going in a sense. And it usually goes in the end zone. You have commercial and then you go into on the 20-yard line and start off from there. Anyway, but we got anything for encouragement for these guys today?
Sure, why not?
Look at sure, why not? He's in a good mood today. I'll tell you why, because he's got next week off. He's on a little vacation.
Yes. Yep. So it's one of those staycations.
There you go.
But actually, that's my favorite kind.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stress to, you know, traveling to Tahiti.
Yeah. Yeah, those beaches in Tahiti, they can really, yeah. They can really depress you, I'm sure. That's why people are always on these lounge chairs and hammocks and stuff.
I feel sorry for them.
They just don't feel like walking. They're so depressed. Anyway, so what kind of encouragement do you think we got for these guys?
Well, now I've forgotten. No, that's not true.
Okay.
But I was thinking about the fact that that God loves to use his people for his glory. And but we get caught up in the idea that we're not good enough to be used by God. So if you have the idea that you're not good enough to be used by God, well, yes, you got it exactly right.
Yes,
because we're broken vessels. We're fallen creatures. If we were a scalpel, we'd be a rusty scalpel, right? We're not fit. But God chooses, he condescends to use us anyways. So, you know, if you're thinking, well, I don't have any skills, you know, I don't know what to do. Well, you know what? You know, sometimes you just need to reach out, you know, instead of waiting for somebody to come to you and say, hey, I need you to do something. Sometimes it's a good idea to reach out and say, you know, how can I help? Yep. What can I do? Can I pass the offering plate at church? Can I hand out flyers? Can I, you know, help you with administration? You know, there's all sorts of different ways that you can work for God, and even just being willing to speak of him in the workplace or whatever. It's not about our ability to do these things. It's about our availability. Because that's what God is really looking at. I mean, when he looks at our work, is he, you know, going to reprimand us if it's not perfect?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not mm-hmm. necessarily the case. You know, he's looking for people who are available. And, you know, I think about in the book of Exodus, towards the end of it, when they're building the sanctuary, God says that he has set aside somebody to be doing this work. And you know what God says? He says that I have put the ability in him, and I have given him the body to do it. Mm-hmm. it's all about God. If we thought that, you know, like, oh wait, I have to be good enough before I go and I work for God. Well, you know, then nothing's ever going to get done.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
God commissions us for His service. So a lot of it is just about being available, willing, and often, you know, we have to go out and seek what it is that He wants us to be doing.
And the best way of being able to do that is actually, you know, when you have a problem with something that you purchase at the store, you take it to the store, says, hey, you got to get a hold of the manufacturer. So you get a hold of the manufacturer, they could actually tell you exactly what it is and what it, they, without any problem. Okay, the guy at the store didn't know diddly squat because he's got 500,000 things that he needs to, that he's trying to sell. My point being is that we need to go to the manufacturer of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's God. He knows. We just spend time with Him, communicate with Him. He'll let us know. We're all gifted with spiritual gifts. We are all gifted with something that He designed us to do. And when we find out what that is, and it's as simple as seriously seeking Him, okay, and then He'll put people in your life who are experienced to be able to help guide you into kind of, you know, taking that diamond in the rough. You know, ever seen some of these rocks that they pull these gems out of the rock? It looks all, you go, what do they see in there? I don't know, it looks terrible. It looks like just rock. They start doing their little deal with it, and before you know it, they've got a gem that's beautiful. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are. Okay? And the giftings that God has given us, we just have to seek what that is. We all have one. We all have at least one spiritual gift. And when we can find a place that fits us, it's like having that square peg right into that square hole, in a sense, all right? It fits perfectly. Nothing else is going to fit in there except you, and that's it. And all of a sudden, boom, now you got something that you can do because you love to do it.
Raul, you know, I have a spiritual gift, but that other guy,
yeah,
his spirit, he does it better than I do. So maybe I should just let him do it instead. I'm just going to step back. What do you think about that?
I think, yeah, keep stepping back. Yeah, keep stepping back. There's a cliff back there. But see, here's the deal. The simple fact is that God has something specifically for you. And if you're trying to make yourself have a certain, everybody wants to be something else other than what they are. Really, sometimes, I mean,
yep.
It's a way, as kids, that's the way we are. Oh, I want to be a fireman. No. I think I want to be a policeman. Oh, no. I think I want to be a whatever, okay? And so we're always searching. And sometimes, even as adults, we're still searching. What are you going to do when you retire? I don't have a clue, you know. What are you going to do when you grow up? I don't know.
I want to be a professional golfer. The only problem is I can't hit the ball straight.
Well, that may not be what you're wired for. It might be that you need to be a commentator.
Exactly.
Okay. We're all going to talk real quiet here before he putts that ball. Anyway, so the point being is that, yes, there is something for you. Hey, give you a little heads up. There's a lot of different ways of being able to get an idea of what type of spiritual gifting that you might have. If you go to our website, bandofbrothersforchrist.org, we have on free resources, we have a place that you can go to, and it doesn't cost you anything, to do this little, it's not a test, it's sort of it gives you an idea of what type of spiritual gift you may fall into, or be, that you may have, in a sense, and to be able to do that sort of thing. So, but seriously, seek it out. Before you know it, you're going to end up doing some things that you didn't think that you'd be doing, but you enjoy doing, because that's the way you are wired. Anyway,
right on.
There you go. Anything else?
No, that covers it.
Yeah, all right.
That's a good show. See you tomorrow.
This is a nice segue into, I'm starting to feel a little guilty here now that we didn't give enough.
Oh, I see. Okay, so is your conscience bothering you a little bit?
Oh, are you going to go there already? Okay. Yeah, there's the segue. Okay?
There's the segue. That was a good one.
But the simple fact is that we talk about a conscience. I mean, does the Bible really talk about conscience? Isn't that kind of like a psyche thing, you know, a conscious thing? Isn't that psychological?
Yeah, it may be psychological, but that doesn't mean it's not in the Bible.
No.
Yeah.
So
it's an, I mean, if God created psychology, I think that he can put some of it in his word, you know. he gave us the minds that we have, and
amen.
So and he wants us to help, you know, help to understand ourselves and the crazy things that we do. And but so anyways, we have to define terms, right?
Yes.
So I've got a definition for conscience. The part of the mind that makes you aware of your actions as being either morally right or wrong. A feeling that something you have done is morally wrong. The sense or consciousness of the moral goodness or blameworthiness, there's a big word, of one's own conduct, intentions, or character, together with a feeling of obligation to do right or be good.
Hmm.
There's a few definitions there.
Hmm.
I think that it can really be summed up in the idea that the conscience is a man's inner moral compass.
Yes.
The conscience points us in the direction that we know that we should go, like a compass does,
yeah.
And it also tells us when we're off course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even allowing ourselves to be a little bit off course. You know, if we're sailing across the Pacific Ocean and we're 1 degree off course, well, by the time we
24 hours later, yeah,
you know, we are miles and miles and miles off course. So, you know, that's why I use the idea of a compass, because it points us in the way that we should go. And that's, you know, that's what's going on inside of our heads. We God has given us these morals, right?
Yep.
And it's these morals that guide us. And when we don't follow these morals, well, then the conscience starts kicking in. And, you know, even Scripture talks about even that non-believers have a conscience, right? And that non-believer's conscience, while there is a morality that is given to each man, even Gentiles and Jews alike, through the life of Jesus and how God has revealed Himself to us in His Word, we have a heightened conscience,
right?
Because of that, we have that great spiritual moral compass.
But just as if you let's step back here just a couple of steps. We are born with a conscience.
Well, Scripture says that that Gentiles who do not have the law,
mm-hmm,
still do the things of the law because they have it written on their hearts.
Exactly, the way that we were created. God had created us for His purpose. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, if you're going to build something, why wouldn't you build it so that it would fall in line with what you believe?
Right. I actually have the scripture reference for that. It's Romans 2, 14 through 16. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus.
Yeah. So conscience is something that everyone has.
Everyone.
We're all created by God.
Yep.
Well, I mean, He said, hey, this is, I want you here at this time and this, you know.
It's part of being created in His image.
Absolutely. So that guys know, here's the thing, is kind of funny. A lot of guys who know the Word of God sometimes aren't aware that conscience is in there as many times as it is in both Old Testament and New Testament. You know, in Acts chapter 24, I believe it's in 16 here. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. Okay, so a conscience is something that is with us all the time. We can't shake it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we try to. We try to mask it or try not to listen to it, because sometimes is that conscience that still small voice that we sometimes hear. You know,
it yeah, it can be most definitely. In fact, I think that's probably a great way of describing it, because we do, we'll have that voice going on inside of our head, you know, that voice that says, don't click on that link.
Yeah.
That's going to take you somewhere where you don't want to go, where it's just a simple tap of the finger and there you go. You've gone off course.
So do you think that it could be the conscience is actually, since it's created by God in us, so God must be present in it. Holy Spirit must be in it, since He's Holy Spirit is in us. Would He be the navigator of the conscience, in a sense?
I would hope so. I don't want to be my own navigator.
Right. So when we talk about this feeling, as we sometimes say, we feel guilty or feel just a sense of conviction when you're doing something that is contrary to what God would prefer you to be doing, right?
Mm-hmm. And we start getting those feelings, you know, sometimes it's thoughts, you know, in our head in the form of words. Sometimes it's just that, like the shot of adrenaline that kind of makes your senses kind of tingle, I don't know, so that, you know, you just have that sense that you know that we're, you know, veering off course, you know. So there's a number of ways that God will speak to us in this manner. You know, He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through, you know, that still quiet voice. He speaks to us through the feelings that are generated by our conscience. But you know what? Even with all of that, all these ways that He is trying to grab us and guide us by this, we are so good at dealing with it in ways that are unhealthy.
So in a sense, the things that take place, you know, this can almost get to a place where guys can start thinking about a conscience as this thing is leading my life. I can't shake it. It's letting me know that I need to be doing this rather than that. And I try to avoid it. And I'll use my own personal experiences. When I was in the midst of my sin that engulfed a big part of my life that led me, whether I realized or not, led me to this walk with Christ, okay? I used alcohol and drugs to try to mask what I was hearing, and so I wouldn't hear it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And what ended up taking place, what worked for a short period of time, all of a sudden didn't work near as well, because what ended up happening is that as a result of me using alcohol, in a sense, certain things would take place in my body, because I'm just the way it was, is that I would have blackouts. I would blackout, okay? I'd be conscious, you know, doing things that I would do, but I wouldn't remember. I couldn't remember what it was that I did, right? But here's where the challenge comes in. What I thought was helping me forget and not hear those things of the past, right, created more things for me to be worried and fearful of that again.
Yeah, so what does that do? It drives you right back to where you started.
Yeah, now I'm not only in a waiting pool, as I thought, you know, with, you know, of things. Now I'm in the ocean, okay, of all these things that I've created as a result of trying to avoid the conscience.
Or to try to hide it.
Right.
You know, and that makes me think actually of Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned.
Yep.
And they realized that they were naked. They grab the fig leaves and they run and hide. Yep. They grab fig leaves to cover their nakedness.
Yes.
The first thing that they wanted to do was to cover it up, to make themselves, you know, feel a little bit better about what had happened.
Yes. Yes.
And we do the same things in our own lives. We try to cover that up.
Yes.
Whether we're trying to hide it from other people, mm-hmm. or whether we're trying to medicate it, mm-hmm. As in, you know, like what you did with alcohol in your former days. What many of us do with going to the internet and viewing pornography, because it brings us that comfort and we get to, you know, just forget about the troubles. You know, we do all of these things to try to hide it, to cover up that conscience that's within
and
us.
And do these things work? Yes, they do. But not for very long.
Not for very long.
I mean, it's like all of a sudden before you know it, and then you sit there and you go, okay, I need to do more of it. See, for me, I was like, I need to drink more. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't, even more and more. And that itself is destruction, okay?
And that works for any sin pattern.
Any sin pattern. And that's where, you know, we sit there and go, my goodness, why do I keep doing, you know, Paul talks about it, right? He says, I keep doing the things I don't want to do. You know, I want to do good, but my body doesn't want to do that. And, you know, and it's a sinful nature. It's part of the sinful nature. But our conscience is something that we are, we have to learn somewhere along the line that we have things that we need to be aware of. And I think part of that is how we were raised. I think our value system and morals and stuff, how we were given those things. We're going to talk about that right after the break, because we're running a little late and a little behind. The producer is asleep out there. Somebody wake her up. she's checking out the flowers to see the buddy's still eating the flowers. But we'll be right back. You're listening to Banner Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Football season. It's the perfect time to grill up some dogs, whether at a tailgate party or out on your back deck. And the perfect choice is a Hempler's Bun Buster hot dog. Or if you really want to impress your friends, grill up some Hempler's Hot Link sausages, or maybe some of their smoked sausage and cheese kielbasa, or smoked garlic sausage, or you've got to try their amazing double smoked sausages. Yum! Can't you almost taste them right now? Plus, the entire Hempler collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and they have no MSG. At Hempler's, they have a proud family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. Look for Hempler's Meats the next time you're at your local supermarket. For more information, visit Hempler's.com.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
You're taking me deeper. You're making me.
Radio, and the bunny's alive and well out there in the garden. He has a snake with him, too, now. The two of them are attacking the garden. And so we'll have to go hunting after we're done here. And, so back when it comes to, I think, our consciences are actually developed as a result of how we are brought up, how we are raised, with values and morals and and now this is not a blame issue here. Okay. I'm not sitting here and saying, okay, we need to blame our parents because, they didn't give me enough morals and the right values and so on and so forth.
Well, that's why we ship kids off to vacation Bible school so that I don't have to deal with
man.
It. I just have somebody
get emails
else teach
on
my
that.
Kids.
Just to put attention. Eric.
No, it's, I don't mean it's bad that you're sending your kids to VBS. Oh goodness. Yes. Just send it to attention, Eric.
Yes, but anyway, so the simple fact is that this is part of what takes place. For those children that are brought up in the Word of God, in a sense, where there is a certain, not I want to say systematic, but a certain following that's taking place where, you know, dad is taking the responsibility of sharing not only with mom, along with her, with the children about God, you know, through scripture and what God says is right and what he says is wrong. Okay. And which is the law. Okay. And that actually develops our morals in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't hear anything, for those who don't get any type of boundaries or guidelines, they have a tendency of being free-willed and of not really, in a sense, caring. Now, no, I'm not a psychologist and I'm not a doctor of any sort, but you know, I've talked with enough men to know in dealing with this, and I am one myself, that knowing that if I didn't have certain mental boundaries, everything, like Paul says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial.
Right.
And that means literally everything is permissible. I can do anything I want. I can go out there and drink right now if I want. I can go out there and take a life if I want. I can go out there and rob a bank if I wanted to. I can do all sorts of things. It's because I can do that. That's the permissible part. Not saying that you have permission, but you can. We can make that decision to do those things.
But not everything is beneficial.
Not everything is beneficial. That means that there's going to be repercussions or consequences to every action that
takes
place.
The wages of sin is death.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And I, knowing that now, all those things I just mentioned aren't on my agenda today, okay? And so that in itself is says that, okay, he has a conscience. He knows. Have you ever looked at somebody that, when you maybe not, this hasn't happened with everybody. Maybe you see someone on TV who's been arrested and they're going to be arraigned or going to court. And they sometimes have this look that is forlorn in a sense where you just go, wow, that's kind of a creepy look, you know?
Well, yeah, kind of like where they're just like almost staring through you and you see no remorse in the person.
Yeah, none whatsoever. You know, you sit there and go, how can anybody be like that? Well, well, yes, there's mental disorders and all that, but the fact is that these are some of the things that take place in us as a result of not having a strong spiritual moral upbringing, in a sense.
Yeah, or just simply listening to the lies of the enemy over and
Or in excess of, you know, because it can work the other way around. Just, I mean, you can have those who are given way too much, right?
Right.
That are legalistic in a sense in their upbringing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Where it drives people to go just the opposite rather than attracting them to it, you know?
Yeah. And that's, you know, kind of what we're talking about here is how we have a tendency to change the standard of morality when my conscience is troubled and I'm thinking, okay, this thing that I'm doing is making me feel bad. So, you know, I can either, you know, stop doing the thing that I'm doing, the decision that I'm making, or I can change my idea about it, and I will say, okay, well, I'm going to say in my mind that this is okay. So, you know, we actually can change that moral standard within ourselves in order to align with our sinful nature.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And we see that in our society even, in recent years, our nation has come to accept that abortion is acceptable.
Yes.
You know, where I firmly believe that that's the taking of an innocent life.
Mm-hmm.
Our nation has come to believe that the act of homosexuality is acceptable when God's word says, you know, very distinctly that it's sinful. But mm-hmm. as a nation, what we've done is we've changed the standard in order to fit our own agenda.
But you know what? Even changing the standard doesn't necessarily relieve the conscience. It's trying to justify the action, I believe, but it doesn't take care of the conscience because I believe that truly is still going to be on the minds of even those in this sense here, where certain legislatures that passed whatever law was necessary, that it's still there, okay? That's why they do the things that they do. I'm going to be very, very careful.
I know. It's,
anyway,
well,
so.
I have no intention of turning this into a political show whatsoever.
No.
Just simply using the example, you know, to make the point that, you know, I myself am guilty of changing the standard, my moral standard, in order to fit my lifestyle.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's really easy to become hardened to the sin that we're in, and we'll deceive ourselves, and we'll tell ourselves, well, you know, it's not that bad. You know, yes. We'll start out with that. It's not that
yes.
bad. And then, you know, and when we get comfortable with that thought, then we move on to, you know, maybe it's just not bad at all.
Hmm.
You know, and then when we've you know, got that cemented in our head that maybe it's not bad at all, then we start thinking, well, maybe this is good. You know, it's and it's kind of, you know, the frog in the pot of water, you know, that it's, if you drop a frog into a pot of boiling water, he's like, ow, this is hot, I'm going to jump out. You put a frog into a pot of cold water and turn the heat up, and it slowly starts to heat up to boiling.
Mm-hmm.
He never jumps out because he.
Sure.
It's just, you know, I think we've all heard that parable before.
Yes.
And that can be the same thing.
I wanted to say that in you know, Paul talks to Timothy here in and he mentions about a conscience also here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 4 and 5. I'll start in 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach the false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. So a good conscience is something that, in a sense, is seeking, I believe, God's will.
Yeah.
Right? So for us, it is something that we need to be seeking all the time, is seeking to understand and to know God and to know what His will is for us. Okay. See, and that's not a selfish thing. That's kind of like knowing, what is it that you have in store for me, Lord? What do you have in store for me today? What do you want me to do? And the more that I seek Him, guess mm-hmm. what? My Bible tells me that He is going to reveal Himself to me. You know, if I seek Him with everything that I have, He will reveal who He is to me. I just have to be willing to do that. But I will tell you this. My sinful nature battles with that. My wanting comfort and mm-hmm. the pleasure of sin, in a sense, okay, sinful desires and sinful acts and stuff, it battles with that, okay? And that'll always happen because there's always the temptation. Look at what the world does, right? It says, oh, man, if you only bought this kind of car. I know it's only, we can make easy payments mm-hmm. for 32 years. Of $300 a month. You can afford that, can't you, for 32 years, you know? And
yeah. Well, what you're doing here is you're contrasting, you know, the inner conscience, the that morality that we have, that's the seeking of godliness with the external.
Yes.
And we are mm-hmm. often so focused on the external, those appearances, the idea that I've got it all together. And it was the same thing with the Pharisees back in Jesus' time. And
mm-hmm.
the author of Hebrews deals with that. He writes, he's talking about how the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies to
yes.
make sacrifices. And says, according to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation.
Ooh.
So even you know, 2,000 years ago, they had the same problem.
Yep.
They were dealing with the outside, trying to perfect, you know, the outward man, how we look to everybody else, but inwardly, our conscience is you know, being is seared and it's not dealt with. Mm-hmm. And all of these sacrifices that the high priest was doing on behalf of the people did nothing for the conscience of the people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was dealing with the external. It wasn't dealing with the internal, the heart of the man, the man that seeks after God.
So really, in a sense, what a lot of times we find that, how do I say this to be politically correct? Forget politically
correct. Politically correct. Go for it.
But sometimes in some churches, they want to give you the comfort to feel comfortable being in that arena, okay? The music's good. The temperature is just right. The seats are comfortable. The water is cool. The coffee is hot. And you even have cream, not just regular cream, but flavored creams and so on and so forth, so that you're comfortable in attending, right?
Yes.
Whereas in some cases, if we read what it says in the Bible, yes, it's a different culture, different times and everything. They gathered together in a room, many of them at times. And I'm sure it was probably not air conditioned, right? And it probably wasn't very comfortable.
Probably not, since they had no electricity.
and they didn't have underarm deodorant, you know? Okay. Think about it. Seriously. I mean, you know, we're talking, so there's discomfort, but they went for one reason, to gather together as God had intended them to do so, to praise him, to glorify him, to come together in like-mindedness, okay? It wasn't for the comforts, but so often we look for the comfort because that's our flesh, right?
Oh, yeah. And not only the comfort of the coffee roll, but there are messages coming across in our churches that are all about health and wealth and prosperity, and you deserve this, and you're good enough, and you're worthy of God's praise.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to slap some people upside the head.
But again, we're not here to slam, but we're trying to make aware of, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that, because, you know, there's that part of us. And again, here's the deal. No matter what we end up sharing, if it's contrary to what you believe and everything, you know, just check it out. Go to God. Spend time with him. He'll reveal. He will. He will reveal to you what he wants you to be doing. Now, we can deny that. Have you ever said no to God? Have you? Come on.
Do you mean how many times today?
Yeah, okay, there you go. That's what I'm saying. We do it all the time. And yet we sit there and go, no, I don't want to go there. I sometimes try not to think of things because I don't want to have to go there because I know what the answer is going to be. You know, it's kind of like going to my dad. You know, I'm 15 years old and I want the car keys. Dad, I just want to practice in the driveway. Can I take the car? I know what he's going to say. I don't even want to. I want to. So what do I do instead? I do it when he's not around.
Mm-hmm.
I sneak.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that he doesn't know and doesn't see. But he notices the miles on the car, you know, sitting there going, hey.
Like Ferris Bueller, you try to drive it in reverse and get rid of those miles.
Let's take a break because the bunny is back and we need to take care of that right now. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
Every life is unique. Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com.
Mercy and healing, it makes you very happy, Lord.
Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these, and so have shipwrecked their faith. So we want to seek the good conscience. We want to have that, right? In doing so, then we don't have to worry necessarily about being off track. In other words, if we're doing things and we're not hearing that those voices that are saying, hey, come on, don't stop doing this, you know, then maybe we're going to be in the realm or in the space where we need to be.
Yeah, and that that conscience that we have, you know, not only does it tell us that we're getting off course, you know, don't do that, Eric. You know, I know what you're thinking. Don't go down that road.
Yeah.
Not only
yeah.
does it do that, but it'll also tell us the course that we should be setting.
Yes.
You know, hey Eric, you know, I have something for you. I want you to take this road. You know, and which of course I'll say, are you sure?
Are you sure? Yeah, God, I know you're trying to let me know something. I know you know everything, and but are you sure?
Are you sure? Maybe I can do something else for you instead.
Yeah.
Maybe I can do something nice for somebody instead of going down this other road. You know. Have you ever done something like that where you know your conscience is messed up because you know you haven't followed what God has instructed you to do, and so you try to make up for it by doing something nice, you know, it's like, you know, I hurt somebody, and my conscience is troubled because of that, and I think, well, you know, I'm gonna go and I'll get him a small gift. Or I'll take them to Tahiti.
Oh, you're gonna buy your way out of it.
Try to buy your way out of the idea.
I wish I had a dad that did that. That would have been pretty good, but he never did do that sort of thing. But yes, even today we end up doing that sort of thing. We don't spend enough time with the kids, right? Mm-hmm. So what do? You promise them something. Hey, this summer coming up in about 4 months, we're going on a huge vacation, and it's gonna be something special. Well, what is it, Dad? What is it? I can't tell you. Because you had no clue what you were going to do, right? You have no clue. You're just building it up. So they're like, oh, Dad, we love you. And you say, yeah, go work some more. I just have to keep working. Got to be able to afford this vacation, you know. And they end up going to the next county, to the small town's state fair or whatever. But anyway, the point being is that, yeah, we try to buy it. We do that with our wives.
Mm-hmm.
We do that with our wives who spend all the time of taking and doing the things around that home and making sure, or has at a time, okay? And then, but we don't recognize it. We don't even say thank you sometimes, much less buy her something
Here's a plug to bring home flowers at a time when you haven't screwed up on something.
Yeah, man, don't just get them just when you're in the doghouse. Get them because you love her, because she, you believe in your heart.
Just because flowers.
It. Yes.
Just because.
You know, or whatever it is. Maybe she's allergic to flowers. Maybe you need to bring chocolate.
Plastic flowers.
And you guys say, oh, no, not chocolate. I don't want her to gain weight. Well, okay. Well, then do something. Send her to go get a pedicure, a manicure, you know. Send her and her sister or her best friend. Buy something for the two of them so they can enjoy a time together. You watch the kids.
Take a nice quiet walk together.
You know, yeah.
So many things.
Listen to her. Love her.
No, not that one. Not
love her.
Okay.
Love her as Christ loves the church. My goodness. You know, these are the things that help us to keep a clear conscience, brother. Yeah. These are some of the things that will help us to stay on board and being mindful that God is with us. He's in us. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And in doing so, brother, others are going to be blessed as a result of that.
Yeah, and these are the things, Raul, where we keep a clear conscience. But we also have we have done things, all of us, that sear that conscience, that trouble it.
Yep.
So, you know, what do we do about that? Well, the very fact of the matter is that Jesus has taken care of that for us on the cross. When he took the nails, when he took the scourging of the whips, when he did all of that, he bled and died on our behalf, for the forgiveness of our sins.
Yes.
Not just the ones, you know, up until I was saved, you know, and then everything after that is my responsibility. No, that's not the case at all. He died to cover all of our sins. His blood of righteousness covers all of that. Everything that I have done, everything that I am doing, everything that I will do is all covered by the blood of Jesus. And so we have the healing from that wounded conscience in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we have the opportunity now to move forward in our faith, to press on and to leave those things behind.
But part of what needs to take place is that acknowledgement of the sin, that you've offended God, okay? Mm-hmm. And that you would repent. Those are necessary for this sort of thing. Okay, it's not about just all of a sudden, okay, I sinned and God forgives me because of his grace. No, you have to ask for it, and you have to be willing to do what he wants you to do.
Well, yeah, John tells us in his letter that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. Amen.
All of it.
So, well, there you go. I have a clear conscience now. How about you?
He gave me one.
That you avoided that question really well. You should be a politician. I think that's your spiritual gift. A political
gift. Absolutely not.
How about praying for our brothers who are listening?
Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to follow you today, to press into you, to come to you in all things, Father. I thank you that you are the one who cleanses our conscience, and I thank you, Father, for that moral compass that you have given us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.